Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is currently the longest-serving late-night host on TV. He's the old man of the mountain. He's the Mandarin without melanin. Please welcome Conan O'Brien. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Please, sir, you've been drinking.
Last time you were here, you were with Dave.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. David Letterman. Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, yeah. It was a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to congratulate you. You're doing an amazing job. This guy's doing a great job.
Oh, thanks very much.
Doing a great job.
Thanks very much.
I mean that from my heart. I never missed a show. I caught Tuesday's show. Tracy Ellis Ross, I think it was.
Yes. Thanks, yeah. You know, it's funny, that night, and I don't know why, I was thinking about you.
I knew it.
Yeah. I didn't say anything to anybody, but in here.
I was watching the TV so hard that night.
Yeah.
And I could see I was getting into your head.
Yeah.
And I was all the way back in L.A.
Wow.
Where I was on Tuesday.
Exactly. You know, talk about this with Tig Notaro, my next guest tonight. Mm-hmm. Talk with us about her. She wants to talk to you, I heard.
Okay, yeah, I saw her backstage, because she's the next one on.
Yeah. Now, by the way, I know you're a fan of Dave's. I'm a huge fan of Dave's. You wrote a
wonderful... Dave Letterman again, is that
Dave
right?
Dave Letterman, exactly, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Also, Dave, the guy from Wendy's. But,
yes! Wendy's has the best burger.
The square.
Yeah, David Letterman. Well, we grew up revering David Letterman.
Dave is the best. You wrote a lovely tribute to him in EW right before he left
departing this stage, I wanted to write an appreciation piece, and so I wrote a piece about Dave. And
did you ever hear from him? Did he ever say thanks for that? Or did he talk to you after he's left?
I did hear from him, yes. Okay. I did hear from him. What happened was I wrote this nice appreciation piece of Dave, and I just said how much he meant to me and to all the comedians of my generation. And then word came back that Dave appreciated what I had written and that he'd be sending me something my way. And I was like, I was excited, and I thought, this is going to be like an amazing bottle of wine, chocolates, Hummel figurines that are hard to find. This is going to be something really extraordinary. And I was looking forward to it, but I thought, this would be cool. So... it's the next day, and it's an hour before the show. And the only way I can talk to you, because you're a fellow host.
Sure.
An hour before the show, you're concentrating, you're getting ready.
Yeah, pressure cooker.
Yeah, body's being waxed, oiled, and...
you're being lowered into the suit.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the wardrobe guy, stop eating! I hear there's a truck that's trying to get onto the Warner Brothers lot in Los Angeles, and it's having a hard time getting on the lot. And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, it's too wide. The truck is so big, it can't get on the lot, and it's the carrying the gift from Dave. My mind starts to go nuts, because you and I, we've done well, but we've done okay. This guy...
it's Dave.
It's Dave. He owns the entire state of Montana, you know?
Oh, yeah. He had the whole thing waxed.
Yeah, he had it all... He's a very wealthy man, mm-hmm. and he's got his, you know, fingers in every pot, if that's even an expression. And
It's not.
That was terrible. I'm sorry.
Unless the pot has pie in it.
I know. It's Tuesday. It's early in the week, and I have trouble. It's Wednesday.
It's Friday.
We'll fix that. It's Friday. No! You don't edit that out. You keep that in. That's the magic! You've got to learn, Colbert!
So, the truck can't get on the lot.
He's getting me back on track. All right. Truck can't get on the lot, and I'm going crazy, because this is like, he's a car guy, this guy has Porsches. I'm thinking, he's giving me a vintage Porsche.
Sure.
My mind went there.
Yeah.
This is amazing, I'm gonna have to get the crazy leather gloves. Then they tell me it's here and it's ready. I go downstairs, I walk outside, right outside my stage. The truck is unloaded. Two cowboys in full chaps, cowboy hats, holding the biggest, most beautiful horse. Horse! Horse! I have ever seen.
Do you ride horses?
No, I don't ride horses. And here's the thing. The men, they hand me a lovely note from Dave. They say goodbye, and they leave. Look at my expression after they've left. Look at the expression on my face. That's a man who doesn't know what to do with a horse. Turns out, I look into it. You gotta feed them, you've gotta board them, you've gotta treat them humanely. Everyone I tell says, it's from David Letterman. Oh, and guess what the horse's name is? Dave. Thank you.
Was it really Dave, or was
yes,
it a joke?
Yes, the horse's real name is Dave.
Does it answer
he to the... searched all of the world for a horse named Dave. Narcissism, maybe, and, So then
I have a farm?
No, I don't have a farm. Stephen, you know me. I don't have a farm.
I've never been invited.
I barely have a house.
I've never been invited to your house.
I've invested very poorly. And so I have to room it. I have to board it. Then I say, you know what? Dave gave me a horse. I'm going to ride that horse and learn how to ride it. I go out to the place where I'm spending a lot of money to ride it. I go to get on it. And they say, I wouldn't get on that horse if I were you. I said, why not? And they said, that horse is crazy. Not kidding. This is all 100% true. Then they said, that horse is so crazy that it's thrown two people that have tried to ride it. If that horse is going to stay here, you have to get a letter, a legal letter drawn up by a lawyer, an expensive horse lawyer, that will indemnify you in case the horse injures anybody. So I do that. That costs a lot of money. Then I'm getting curious, and I say to the people taking care of the horse, because by this point, one of my children is no longer being schooled. This is costing so much.
Sure.
It's the boy. It wasn't going to work out anyway. He's good with his hands. The thing is, I say to the guy, this horse probably getting kind of old, though, right? And he went, oh, no. This is a young horse. It's going to live a long time. I'm going insane. I don't know what to do. It's draining. It's costs a fortune, and I have the horse for 2 years. Finally, my wife cracks it. God bless her. She found a place, and this is not a joke. I have the real website where the horse can live. It's an equine massage center where the horse... This is real. This is... Think Four Seasons Resort for horse. We donated the horse, and what happens is students massage the horse all day long. So it learns, so they learn how to massage a horse.
And but it's so an insane horse.
It's an insane horse, but no one's riding it. It's getting massaged all day long. If I was the horse, I'd be suspicious, thinking they're tenderizing me. But no, massaged all day long. The horse is in heaven, and the horse, this is a real picture of Dave the horse at the massage center, has met and fallen in love with another horse, coincidentally named Charlie Rose. So. That's a true story.
Wow. Wow.
That is a true story. I learned then...
I don't care if it's true or not.
I know.
Enjoyed it so much.
I learned then that Dave is a genius, but he's an evil genius. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Okay.
You gonna be all right? It's all gonna be good.
No, I feel very good.
Is this
good.
Mine? Where's mine?
That's
is that
yours
mine?
Right there. That's yours right there. Ugh. No, this is like a vacation. I asked you one question, and we're how many is? We're 9 minutes into your answer. But when you get a guest like you, how excited are you when you get a guest like you? You're like, oh, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything.
I don't get guests like me.
You both complimented yourself and insulted your show.
I complimented myself while putting down my show and then waved to a crowd. That was the trifecta right there. That's rarely been done.
We got to take a little break. Stick around. We'll be right back with more Conan O'Brien.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, D. Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The lovely and talented Conan O'Brien. You have gone to 7 countries in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You went to Cuba.
Yep.
Armenia, mm-hmm. Qatar, South Korea, Germany, Mexico, and most recently you went to Israel.
Yeah.
Incredible trip.
Yeah.
Incredible. I love following it on all of the you posted on Twitter too. I love like sort of the posting of the place you went. What did you love most about going to Israel? Because I think this is a fantastic idea. You go to be a common fool. You know, for two peoples who don't talk to each other, like the Palestinians and Israelis, you're there and you're the common element between the two. They both think that you're ridiculous, I imagine.
It's not the way I would have put it, but yes.
I mean, that's a compliment.
I know. I love, my greatest joy is trying to make people laugh that don't even speak English, don't know who I am. I love that. I love going to these other countries. And this idea started very naturally when we went to Cuba, and then it just sort of took off from there. But it's a little bit of sort of quasi-diplomacy through comedy. Just, I like to show that Americans are curious, we're humble, we're okay to look ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's okay if you laugh at us.
Every time I see you doing one of these, I think, oh, damn it, that was such a great idea. You know, I feel like you've stolen something great from the rest of us.
Yes, and more or less.
No, really, honestly.
Yeah, no, you know, what's nice is that it's something that has energized me the last couple of years. It's given me, since we started doing it, I love it so much. That it gives me, you know, someone who gets to my point with one of these shows might think, well, it's time to go join the horse at the equine massage school.
Sounds good.
But it is, I have all of this energy now because I absolutely love doing it, and they let us go everywhere. When I show up with a camera crew, they let us into places that normally they wouldn't let other people.
You were in the Holy Land.
We went to the Holy Land.
Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
What was it like? Did you go to like the Via Dolorosa or
we went to a bunch of the sites. We saw them quickly, but we asked, is it okay if we see the Church of the Nativity? And they said yes. Now the Church of the Nativity, this is where they say that Christ was born on this spot.
The manger?
In the manger. They say the manger's down there, and you go down, and they said, come on in. You can come in, and you can come down with your camera crew and with your sound operator. You can come down, and you can shoot this for your show, because this is very important. We know who you are. We know you've come to Israel on this mission of peace. Come on down. So we start going down this long, winding steps that take you, I mean, beautiful, amazing church, but then it gets very claustrophobic. You're going down a long hill, into the ground, spiraling. I've got a cameraman with a big camera. I've got a sound guy who has got a giant machine strapped to his chest with sound dials, and he's got a long boom microphone. Boom microphone, I don't know if you guys have one, but it's like 6 feet long. I'll buy you one. And it's got like a big fluffy mic at the end, and that's how he gets the sound. And we're going down the steps, and I'm noticing the thing swinging around kind of wildly, and we get down to the bottom, and they say, this is the site where Christ was born, and it's very powerful. They're showing you this is where Christ was born, and my sound guy is struggling with his big, long stick, and I don't want to sell him out and give his name or anything, but it's Jason Munoz. And His guild number is 44245. But he's trying, doing the best he can. He said, this is where Christ was born. And then they have another star that's about 5 feet away, and they say, and this is where he was laid in the manger. And I see this, so they say that. They go, this is where Christ was born, and this, and I see Jason swing around with the boom, hit an 800-year-old lamp that's hanging from the ceiling, ka-tang, hot oil, blah, off the candles, down onto Jason. Some got on the priest. He was fine, but the... And there's, and then there's, the thing's going, and then the guy is saying, and over here is where Three Stooges sketch. Thing comes around, bang, wang, wang, bang.
Fire to the nativity.
It was, I mean, I'm sure, you know, somewhere Christ is like, get him out of there. Get him out.
Somewhere.
Get him.
Somewhere. Christ is somewhere saying that?
Sometimes.
He's everywhere saying that.
He's someplace specific in my mind.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
We all have different theories about where Christ may be exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you didn't destroy the Church of the Nativity.
I got out of there. I didn't mean to do that.
No, nobody means to.
I'm telling all countries that might see this, don't let us in, let me in, don't let the sound guy in. That's all I'm saying.
We got to take another break. I'm sorry, but we do. We'll be right back with more Conan O'Brien. Don't go anywhere.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Conan O'Brien. Now, we did this Puber Me challenge last week for Puerto Rico Relief, and there were a lot of good ones. There were a lot of good ones out there, but there was only one that was visible from space. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
What a sweet kid. That's a kid that dreamed one day I'll have a horse. That was a kid.
He looks like you're not quite making contact with the lens.
No. Nope.
You're falling slowly in love with the photographer's left shoulder there.
Yeah.
Now, so this little boy went on to be a serious kid at Harvard University. We wanted to be a serious writer, I understand.
Yeah.
You're a big Flannery O'Connor fan, I understand.
Yes.
So am I.
That's really
Everything
nice.
That rises must converge. What's your favorite Flannery O'Connor short story?
Probably A Good Man is hard to find.
It's hard to find. That's great.
The
enduring chill for me.
Yes. I also love Wise Blood.
Sure.
And we are losing audience so fast right now.
They turned off the cameras halfway through that horse story. It's just all of this. But I understand you wanted to be a serious writer. Like, what happened to the serious...
I'm not answering your questions now. The hell is that? No, I'm kidding. No, you know, it's funny, because when I first got into comedy, I very much didn't want people to know... People didn't know anything about me when I got the late night show, and I got it so abruptly, nobody knew who I was. And the one thing they found out is that I had gone to Harvard, and I was horrified by that because because there are a lot of people that think, oh, he's one of those, you know, he's gonna come on the air with a pipe, and he's gonna think he's better than us, and I bet he's a real creep. And sorry, Harvard, but that's what happens. And I had worked very hard. I had been a very serious, I was funny with my friends, but I was a really hardworking kid, and I had worked really hard, and I had gone to this school, and I was very proud of the work I had done, and I wanted to be a serious writer. And then I got involved in comedy when I was in college. As I graduated, my parents gave me a Harvard class signet ring, and it meant a lot to me that my parents gave it to me, and so they gave me this ring, and I put it on my finger and wore it when I just first graduated in 1985. I was 22 years old. And I go out to L.A. to get started in comedy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a lot of money. I was living in a $380 a month apartment at the time. And I fell in with a bunch of other comedy writers. They said, you want to play basketball with us? You look tall. I said, yeah. So we started That's the only thing that qualified me, seriously. And so I started playing pickup games of basketball with improvisers and comedians, and we would do it in different venues, and they, one day, they picked a venue that was kind of sort of in East L.A. It was getting down towards East L.A., and I'd never been in that part of town before, but I go down there, and I'm playing basketball, and I'm having a good time, and someone passes me the ball really fast, and it jams up my finger. I forgot to take off the ring, which I always did, and my ring starts to swell up. I mean, the finger starts to swell up around the ring. And someone said, you got to go to the emergency room and get that cut off. That's a problem. And I went, I can't. This is, I don't know. They said, you got to go to the emergency room. It's bad. So I went to the nearest emergency room, and it's a tough emergency room. There's real stuff going on there. And I'm waiting in the emergency room, and they put me in a room. And I swear to God, this is a true story. I'm in this room, and I'm standing there. I'm 22-year-old me, and I'm standing there, and I'm holding my hand. And a woman comes in with a clipboard, and she goes, all right. What's your problem? The guy said, I got shot in the face. A guy shot me in the face with a .22 and it went through my cheek and I'm bleeding through. And she was like, what's your story? There were two pit bulls fighting and I was trying to break them up and they tore the flesh off my arms. What's your story? My friend threw acid on me. And then she was like, you! And everyone turns around and looks at me and I go, the ring! The Harvard ring is tight! It's a tight ring! Wow. They cut it off. They made me wait for hours. Then they cut it off, and they bent it back 9 times. Like, screw you, buddy. And gave it back to me. It looked like it had re-entered orbit when they were done with it.
Do you still have the ring?
I don't. I was useless to me afterwards, you know? I think I threw it at someone in rage.
Lovely to have you here.
I do love you, friend.
I love you, too.
You're a good man. Congratulations.
You're a good man. Thank you.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. We'll be dropping classic bits and celebrity interviews 7 days a week while the show's away on summer break. The Late Show will be back on September 6th with all new episodes. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. For more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
CBS Sunday, after the Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions. If you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after the Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.